loving God means a total commitment. It means sacrifice. It means self-giving.
The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time once again about loving God. I was reading to you some from Amy Carmichael's masterful little book called If, a book that she felt the Lord had almost given to her sentence by sentence. Let me continue with a few more selections from this little book. If I become entangled in any inordinate affection, if things or places or people hold me back from obedience to my Lord, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If something I am asked to do for another feels burdensome, if yielding to an inward unwillingness I avoid doing it, then I know nothing of Calvary love. And here's one that really gets me right between the eyes, as virtually every one of them does. If I want to be known as the doer of something that has proved the right thing, or as the one who suggested that it should be done, then I know nothing of Calvary love. The love of God is not a sentiment. The kind of love that you and I are to have for God is not sentimental. If we love God, then we will learn to love others with a love which is not sentimental and weak, sympathizing with weakness and encouraging people in their sins. It's a strong love, stronger than death, stronger than steel. Am I speaking to some parents who are having trouble knowing exactly how to love their children? You know, the book of Proverbs speaks of using a rod for your children. I'm sure that the writer of the Proverbs is not talking about a 2x4, but perhaps a ruler, maybe a little switch taken from a bush in the backyard, such as my mother used to use, or perhaps a paint stirrer. It depends on your child, on his age, and on what you may have available at the time, but I think it's a good idea not to use your hand in order that the child may learn to associate the hand only with love rather than with punishment. But a parent who does not use the rod, according to the Scriptures, is a parent who hates his child. To use a rod on that little child that you love requires self-denial, self-discipline, courage. Loving God also requires self-denial, self-discipline, and courage. Amy Carmichael had to discipline her children many, many times. She had helpers, of course, young women who lived in bungalows with small groups of children, from perhaps 8 to 10 children. But they would administer certain kinds of punishment. But if it required a spanking, then that child was usually sent to Amma, to Amy Carmichael, the mother of the whole family. The name used for the non-Indian workers who helped Amy Carmichael was Siti. It was a Tamil word meaning mother's sister. One day, a Siti sent a child with a note to Amma for a spanking. The child announced that she had been sent to Amma with a note, but she didn't have the note to present. And where was it? I swallowed it, the child said. Well, usually the notes reached Amy Carmichael. If a child had lied, she would be sent to Amma's room. One of these children, an old woman close to 90, told me her own story when I was visiting in Donavur in the process of writing this book. She said, I had told a lie, and I was sent to Amma's room shaking. Amma sent me into her bathroom for a strap. I came back trembling with the strap, presented it to her. She took me on her lap in front of a mirror. And instead of spanking me, she began to read to me from Isaiah 53. He was afflicted. He submitted to be struck down. He did not open his mouth. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a ewe that is dumb before the shearers. Without protection, without justice, he was taken away. Stricken to the death for my people's transgression. He bore the sin of many and interceded for their transgressions. When Amma had read that passage from the prophet Isaiah to the little child, she then beat her own arm with the leather strap and explained the plan of salvation. You and I, because we're sinners, we deserve punishment. Jesus, instead of administering that punishment to us, offered himself, bore our sins, and carried our sorrows. By his floggings, his stripes, we are healed. Amy was a woman of terrific imagination, and one time when two little girls had been brought to her because they could not walk in harmony, she tied their pigtails together, thus forcing them to walk in harmony for several hours. One little child came to her, sent by the city, because she persisted in the habit of biting her nails. Amy took her hands gently in hers, and she said, "Darling, these are beautiful hands. What have you been doing to them? Aren't these the Lord Jesus' hands? Now don't be afraid." She kissed the little girl's fingertips and then said to her, "Promise me and the Lord Jesus that you will stop." And the little girl promised. "And then come and see me when the nails have begun to grow." This child told me that that worked, that because she remembered that they were beautiful hands and they belonged to the Lord Jesus, she didn't want to bite them anymore. Loyal love, Amy said, was the taproot of the tree that became the Donover Fellowship. She never forgot that morning when she first arrived in Japan before she went to India. She was walking along on a very gray, drizzly day with a missionary who began to talk about the conflicts and tensions that existed between missionaries. It was a terrible shock to Amy, the new missionary. The thing that shocked her the most was the fact that this older missionary was able to speak of such things with a casual lack of love. Amy thought of the words, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." One of the rules that she made for her family in Donavur was, never speak about, but always to. In other words, people were not to talk about each other behind their backs. If they had a complaint, they were to go directly to the person. And trust was established on this ground. Another rule was, come, not go. Come with me. She could not ask others to do what she herself had never done or was not willing to do. She didn't send them to do the job. She led them to the job. She said to prospective candidates, "If you come to Donavur, you must come without a but, an if, or a limit." It was a high standard that she set, a steep hill that she was asking the family to climb. But the leaders had to climb it first. Isn't that a lesson for us parents, for us grandparents, for us who have an influence on others in any way at all? And who of us doesn't have an influence on somebody? The man who was her leader in India, a man by the name of Thomas Walker, died. And people wrote to her, "It is very hard to see how this can fit in to God's perfect plan." Amy's answer to that was, "We are not asked to see. We know. From his word, we know that it fits into God's plan for good. We know the incontestable fact that it is for the best. to will what God wills brings peace. And the lesson that Amy had to learn out of losing this trusted and much depended upon co-worker of hers, Thomas Walker, she put into a poem called Make Me Thy Fuel, which has been one of the prayers of my life. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified, from all that dims thy Calvary. O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. That's one of the mottos that I have on the wall of my study. It's done in bronze by a friend of mine. The last line of that poem, make me thy fuel, flame of God. You can find that in Amy Carmichael's biography entitled A Chance to Die on page 221. Loving God means a total commitment. It means sacrifice. It means self-giving. And he says, if you love me, you must love your brother. May God help us to do that.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.